Chema. So we start today another story. The story most of us from the Indian ethos are aware of the story broadly. The story is of the Vamana avatar, which is the one of the avatars of Vishnuji, and it marks a transition. Because why it is a transition? Because if you see till Vamana avatar, you have some either form of the animal, half human. So we can just recount it. Matsya avatar, the story we'll read probably next time because we haven't done it. Then comes, after Matsya comes Varaha avatar. So from the land you have, or tortoise, the Kashyapa avatar, Kurma avatar. So you have the land from this water to the next level where there is water and land. And then comes Varaha avatar, who is completely a land animal. And then comes Nrsingha, who is half animal, half human. And then comes Vamana, the dwarf human. And then you see all the avatars are human, and but in ascending scale of potencies. Parshuram, a completely rajogun oriented person. And then comes Lord Ram, who is Sattugun. Then Krishna, who goes beyond the gunas. So it's very clear in evolutionary progression, a parallel evolution which is going on behind the scenes. So one is the evolution of form, but along with that, there is the evolution of consciousness. So these are wonderful stories which relate to that. So Vamana avatar is a transition, because before Vamana avatar, we have Narsingha avatar, which who is half animal, half lion and half human. So the lion man, if you want to put it like that, and then you have the Vamana avatar. So the story, first as always, we'll just have the broad outline of the story, then its deeper sense, symbol, significance. Story is very simple. So the gods are in their Swargalok and the devils are in their worlds, nether worlds. And then there arises a king called Mahabali, king of the demons. So, Daityas are beings of the vital plane, and the gods which are described are also on the vital plane. We should know the difference. So, demon is an English translation. It doesn't make sense actually. So, Daityas are very powerful beings of the vital plane, but it with a tremendous sense of ego and power. And the gods of the Puranas are also gods of the vital plane. That is Indra, etc. Now, beyond Indra, there are other gods, the great gods of the higher mental worlds, which is, we have Lord Vishnu, Brahmaji and Shiva, and then beyond the Trimurti. So, this is the hierarchy. So, vital plane is very important because it's the plane where the whole struggle of life to evolve one way or the other is going on. So, that's why these stories have their own importance, profound significance. So, we start with the story. So, Indra, etc., they are cosmic gods. Indra, Agni, Vayu, that is the Maruts, and all these gods are involved in different functions of creation from the most material. So, you'll see these gods in the most material, even in atoms. So, if you really look at their powers, you will see. And Indra is the like the cosmic mind which governs all these. They are the gods of the senses as well. Agni, Vayu, that is Maruts, Jal. So all of them. And there is of course Indra who governs them. I mean, I'm not saying it just a symbol. They are real gods. You can come in contact with them. They are cosmic powers. So they are at once beings as well as impersonal powers, whatever way we want to take. And they are cosmic powers working on in creation. So opposed to them is the Daityas, and below the Daityas, the Danav, Asur, etc. They are powers. Basically, there are powers of division and there are powers which act on the basis of unity. This is the difference between the demons and the gods. This is the background. So because we are reading about the Devasur all the time. So, Devas act on the principle of unity, and they also fight wars. And the Daityas and the Asuras and Rakshasas, they act on the principle of division. This is the fundamental difference. So, the Devas are in their world, enjoying life. And the demons are enjoying their life in their world. But what is the problem? Demons want more. I am using the word demon very loosely. That's the English translation, unfortunately. They use the word demon for everything. And it's not a very pleasant word. Daityas won't like it. They are not demons in the English sense anyways. So the Daityas are in their own world enjoying life. Except for the fact that they develop the ambition from time to time to conquer the goods of heaven. And they have conquered at times. And last time also we read the story how they conquer. They conquer because there is some fault or flaw in the heavenly world. And because of that, Indra suffers a fall. A very good lesson of humility. That same story in Greek story, we have the hubris and nemesis. So nemesis follows hubris. If you think it's me, then very soon you're preparing a ditch. So often I keep saying, if people praise you, be careful. That's why the great poet Rahim Mystic has written, Nindak niere rakhiye. And when God loves you a lot, He keeps somebody who will criticize you always. Huh? Because He'll make sure you don't get into the seventh sky and start thinking I'm someone special. That's what happens to Indra Loka, etc. They invariably fall. And they come under the realm of gunas. So that's a different story. So Indra is in his realm. And the Daityas in their own realm. And then it so happens that one day, there is a background to the story. There is a king called Bali. And King Bali, Bali Maharaj, as they call him. So Bali Maharaj's father is Virochan, who has started this whole lineage in a way. And Virochan's father is the great Prahlad, whose story we have already read. So Bali Maharaj goes and he asks, Sukracharya tells him, all the gods and interestingly, all the Brahmanas. Brahmans are those beings who are turned toward the divine. Brahman, it has nothing to do with Pandey or Sharma or Trivedi or whatever it is. There were no surnames at that time. So Brahmanas were those who were engaged in penance, tapasya. And so they are not very happy with the way Indra is dealing with this world. So they ask Bali Maharaj that you do the tapasya. Brahmans are vanshaj of Bharadwaj Rishi and we will help you, we'll support you. So he conducts a yajna. Yajna was the means to get power. So what is yajna? Yajna is essentially sacrifice. All power comes from sacrifice. So repeatedly we'll see this. You can either enjoy life at the lowest level. If you sacrifice the lowest form of enjoyment, pleasure, you will get a greater joy. Sacrifice it, you will get something still greater. Sacrifice it, still greater. So this is the law. The moment you sacrifice the lower, you are now a claimant of the higher. So it's not like this is a blank if you sacrifice. But you can't do it with this idea. Oh, okay, I am going to get a greater joy. That's why the Isha Upanishad says, Tena Tyaktena Bhunjita. By renouncing, they enjoy. So renunciation is for a greater joy. And that's a wonderful subject. But some other time. So he advises King Bali that you perform a sacrifice. But this sacrifice he is doing not with the idea of that purity. He wants to annex heaven. And he knows that I have to be a claimant to heaven, I must practice the law of sacrifice. So he does sacrifice for many, 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 many years or whatever. And finally, he develops all the capacities, powers to annex Indra. So he and his army of Daityas, they march up to Indra. And then there is a brief description of that world. And if you read that world, you will feel that Swarga which is described is an ideal world because everything is prosperous, everything is shared equally. That's what we said last time, that what really is Swarga? Swarga is a kind of, if you want to put it, divine communism, not the way communism is understood. So Kamadhenu is not hoarded. There is no price tag to Kamadhenu. Kamadhenu is available to all. But on the other hand, each citizen, each person in Swarga knows how much to milk. So he'll not say, because he is freely available, let me milk. Milk is plenty of things, so let me milk and hoard so that I can sell at a higher rate. That's not the ideal. So everybody goes according to needs. receives it and uses it exactly Orwell's concept. So in Orwell, there is no money transaction. You can, those who are Orwellians can go and pick up whatever they want. So that's Swarga. There is a lot of, there is freedom because there is no enmity, there is no strife. And so when Vali Maharaj goes, Indra is in a state of, okay, I am the ruler of Swarga. But when he sees Vali Maharaj after the tapasya, he is shaken. He doesn't know whether he will stand a match or not. And that is the time King Indra's guru, who is Brihaspati, he advises him, this is not the time to fight. You are going to lose it. So what you should do, he says, very interesting advice he gives. He doesn't say that you straight away go to Lord Vishnu. He says, let all the gods go up on earth and mix up with humanity like ordinary human beings. Mix up with the ordinary humanity. That's one of the very interesting symbols. So they go down and they are mixing as if they have to prepare for something. And then after some time, Indra, at the behest of his guru, goes to Lord Narayana, Lord Vishnu, Sri Hari. And Bali by that time has already annexed heaven and they are all enjoying the Daityas. So Lord Vishnu says, okay, but you remember why all this has happened? He says, yes, sir, I'm sorry. I know I got into state of hubris, proud that I am incontestable, unbeatable. So he says, yes, so you have to allow now Bali some time. I won't intervene straight away, but at one point I will intervene. Be rest assured. But then Mother Aditi, the mother of the gods, she wants her children to come back because the cosmic order is disturbed. So she goes and prays. Now she does the tapasya on behalf of all these gods who are roaming on earth now as ordinary mortals, moving them, inspiring mankind in their own way. So then she goes and prays to Lord Vishnu and says, see, now you must come down and rescue. So see, the story is very interesting. Actually, if you read between the lines. So Lord Vishnu, it very easy, could have come and just said, okay, fine, that's the problem, I'll go, I'll fight a war. I have the best nuclear arsenals, I'm going to finish Vali. And that's not what he does. He says, okay, I'll come as a child. Yeah, story is clear, symbol. Now we'll come to the symbol. So he is born out of Yajna again. He emerges out of Yajna. And he comes as a Vamana, the dwarf man. And he's described as a resplendent being who is wearing a garland which never fades. And he has an umbrella over his head. And he has all the bangles, the anklets. Very beautiful description. Actually, you'll fall in love if you just read the description. Don't see the picture, but just read the description. You'll fall in love with this baby. And then he goes into the Maharaja Bali is now performing another yajna. He has performed Ashwamedh yajna and he has won all these kingdoms. Now he's performing another yajna. And at the end of the yajna, Vishnuji as Vamana goes there. So Bali Maharaj sees him, welcomes him. This is a very beautiful description that as he comes, wherever Vamana goes, all, even the gods in their kingdom start feeling that this light is greater than our own. And even in the yajna when he goes, all the great priests who are sitting out there, they wonder, they recognize that, oh my God, he is so effulgent that even the Yajnavedi and all that fire cannot compare to the kind quality of light that he is carrying. I think some of us must have understood what Vamana avatar is. If you read Sri Aurobindo's stories, you'll understand. I mean, Sri Aurobindo's teachings or spiritual understanding, it'll be very clear. Anyways, he goes there and King Bali says, what do you want? Because he is giving whatever people want to each one of them. But Shukracharya, his guru, mentor, the moment he sees Vamana avatar, he says, hold on, just be careful. This guy is... he looks like a child who has come to ask you something, but he is so effulgent, so radiant, don't go by his size. He looks just a little chit of a boy, but don't go by just his size. But by then, Bali has promised that you ask, whatever you ask, I will give. So Bali Maharaj says, I'll give whatever you ask. I'll stay with my promise, because if I lie, it will not be the right thing. It doesn't behove someone of my stature. And Shukracharya gives him, when you can lie. It's a very interesting little. What are the conditions under which you can lie? He tries to explain to him. He's after all guru of the Daityas. So Bali says, whatever it be, I am sorry, but for me, promise is ultimate. So he asks Lord Vaman, ask whatever you want. He says, all that I need is three steps worth of whatever you can give. Three steps. Says, or 3 feet. Teen pug. He says, okay, granted. First feet, where would you put? Now, there is a description. He expands his body, and there are some places where you have the description of the Vishwarup. So you have the description of the Vishwarup of Lord Vishnu. He covers the universe, covers this material. He sees all the various gods, goddesses, titans, even what we call as Adharma on the backside. These are very, very meaningful things. How everything is part of that one divine energy. Because there cannot be anything other than him. So different things, even what you call as lust is on his lips. It's very interesting if you really look at the whole description. So, and beautiful things, just like in the Gita you see. But he is more, wonderful version. In the Gita, it's terrifying aspect, Vishwarup. So when he expands and shows his wonderful form, and with 1 foot, he covers the entire material universe and the three worlds. So he says, now 1 foot, I have covered them. With the second feet, he covers all the other higher worlds, which goes right up to Satyalok. And it described that as his feet touched the Satyalok. It's very fascinating why this is being described like that. Even Satyalok began to feel that this is something more effulgent than our own effulgence. It began to become as if lesser than the effulgence of that Vamana avatar. And then he says, where do I place my 3rd feet? So he doesn't know what to do. And meanwhile, Garud comes and arrests him. He puts a cord around him. He says, look here. Now you have promised the 3rd feet. Where will he put his 3rd feet? And all the demons then stand. His demons stand. They say, we are going to fight. And Bali tells them, don't try all this. Just stay quiet. Because he knows what is the game going on. So he says, you stay quiet. Unless I tell you, as the king, you guys are not going to interfere. So the demons remain quiet. So he says, where do I place the 3rd feet? And King Mahabali says, on my head, because this is what you have yet not conquered. You have conquered what belonged to me, because he had actually, but you have not conquered me. Me you must conquer. So he is very happy, and as he places his feet on his head, then he says, ask what you want, because now you have taken complete surrender to me, Sharanagati. So, but before asking that, he says, now you will, because you have surrendered, you will get a place in the best of netherworlds. It's interesting. There is a place in the netherworlds which is called Sutal. And it's envied even by the gods. If you read the description, you will wonder. Even the gods want to come sometime there, because it's opulent, it's beautiful. It's like, you know, maybe before all this civilizational thing came, earth might have been in that. But with all the riches, all the things available. So then he says that, what do you want? Because you have been so wonderfully surrendered. So now you ask me something and I'll grant you. So he says that, nothing, I just want that in my place where I'll dwell, I want you to be there always with me. He's got converted. It's surrender of the asura, surrender of the conversion of the asura. He says, okay, I'll be there as your Dwarpal. It's a very interesting story. So in the Sutal, where King Bali is the ruler, he becomes the Dwarpal of the Daitya. Now there is time for Lakshmiji not feeling very comfortable about this. See, Lakshmi after all, so she comes. So she says, what is this? You can't be all the time here. And she plays a little very, very sweet game. Before she asks anything, he says, Bali, I make you my brother. So there is a Rakhi ceremony and he becomes her brother. Now brother, if he becomes, he can't hold the Jijaji for long. He says, okay, Didi, for 4 months you please send him. I love him like anything. You are also welcome, but I know I don't have a place for you. But 4 months let him come here and Chaturmas, and rest of the time he can be with you. So for 4 months, Lord Vishnu goes and sleeps and lives in that kingdom. So who governs the universe? Because there will be chaos. He is supposed to govern. So Lord Shiva governs during that time. So it's called as Chaturmas. Anybody knows what is that Chaturmas? So now we are going to have Onam festival. So Onam is the time when King Mahabali is somewhere around August and something like that. So that's the time when? Shravan, yes. So that's the time when King Bali comes to see how the world is faring. He has his say. And after that, he goes back. But the world, in place of Vishnu, the world for those 4 months, the winter nights, the dark phase, Uttarayan and Dakshinayan. So we see Shiva governs it. Same thing you will see in the Devi Puja. All the great goddess, almost till October it will come. Which, you know, the last will be Pitrapaksh. Then starts, people don't know the name, Matrapaksh. After that, Kali comes. Forget everything. Then Saraswati Puja after full 4 or 5 months. So basically, there is a dark phase when, as if the world governance is given to Shiva. And we understand what it means. Unlike Vishnu, who balances, he's the preserver, he... with Lakshmiji harmonizes things, there is opulence, everything. What does Shiva do? He takes away all the energy. So there will be Shishir Ritu and Sharad Ritu, and then finally when the time is ready there will be new creation. So it's a kind of miniature destruction and rebirth, the cycle of creation. So this is the story where it ends, but very beautiful symbols. It starts with, once again, when I say symbol, it doesn't mean the story is only a fabrication of the mind which has been written to symbolically convey. There is a truth of cosmic agencies which is presented as a story so that we can understand their working. So we have spoken about the heaven and the, not hell, but the lower worlds and the higher worlds. So lower worlds are worlds of division. There is constant quarrel, and as a result of quarrel there is dissatisfaction, disharmony, unhappiness, the sense of want. So you are always wanting. Even when you have everything, you are wanting. You are missing something. Whereas in the higher worlds there is the feeling of unity. Now when there is unity, you don't want. There is a very interesting question somebody once asked, that, oh, Mother and Shurubindo were living together from 1920 onwards. I said, yes, but never together at one level. See, they are in the other room and here someone else is taking care, someone else. They would hardly meet in 30 years of time. How many times they had meals together? Anyone remembers? Yes. Only once. And mother puts it like that. She is preparing everything. Then she sits with... she comes and she... They were hardly eating anything anyways. The diet was almost, we can't use the word even diet. I think it was blessing the food rather than anything else. So the mother tells Sri Aurobindo, I suppose I can also have food here. And she just takes a slice of bread. That was her whole day meal, maybe night again, something like that. So whole through once, never went out for traveling, but they were deeply engaged with the cosmic workings. That was their meeting when Champak Lalji would be a privy to what was happening. So we must understand the import whenever we talk about these great cosmic powers. So there is the world of division where there is unhappiness. Why? Because there is discord. And we are told that wherever there is discord, Lakshmiji goes away. So Lakshmi is not just about money, it's about harmony and beauty goes away. And where there is concord, there is a glad flow of many lives. Lakshmiji stays. So that's her place. She would not dwell where there is discord and disharmony and quarrels and whatever. You may loot, but it won't stay. That's her nature. You may loot, accumulate. You will put it probably in a bank or locker or whatever. But you won't be able to bring the kind of riches that she brings to life. So there is these two worlds, worlds of division and worlds of unity. But time to time, we will see that even in the world of unity, there are seeds of discord which come in. It comes usually through pride. That's why it is said, wherever there is hubris, nemesis follows. So pride is so dangerous. Repeatedly we'll see, Mother also says, if you lack humility, you open the doors to attack by hostile forces. This is exactly what happens with Indra. Somewhere, lack of humility and the whole background, Brihaspati will come, but he is lost in his own somras. Somras is of course Ananda, but the delight is intoxicating him. So wherever there is that kind of pride, you will open the door to a fall. Something very similar happens to same Bali Maharaj when he conquers Indralok or Swargalok. So this is the first immediate sense. Nevertheless, tapasya always brings results. This is something, tapasya is a great power. Whatever be your karma, whatever be your background, whatever be your capacities, tapasya augments. It's like adds your funds. So always we will see in all the stories of Indian thought that tapasya, even an asura when he does tapasya, he is granted. And that's exactly what, there is a little conversation which takes place between Vaman Avatar and King Bali. When King Bali surrenders, he praises him and then he says, I know your original great-grandfather Hiranyaksh. Now you see, Hiranyaksh had submerged the whole earth. He says, but I appreciate one thing about him, that alone he wandered into the worlds to take the challenge of anyone. And even I had to strain myself to conquer him, he says. And then he says, your other great-grandsire, who is Hiranyakashipu, he speaks of him also, that whatever was his fault, but he looked after his subjects. So there is something good, he says, and the kind of tapasya he had also engaged in. Tremendous tapasya. Bali tapasya. You, doesn't matter. You may be anybody, anything, the worst of the worst, but tapasya will bring result. So Bali has done tapasya, he gets the result. Indra is lost in his pride, he suffers a fall. If Bali, after receiving something, starts developing pride, then he too suffers the fall. So one is the tapasya. But is there something greater than tapasya? In this story it is there, very interesting. That something greater is surrender. It doesn't come unless you have come under the influence of the psychic being. Now, who is Vaman Avatar? First time you see a description of the psychic being, the secret soul, in such a beautiful way. If you look at him, he has a garland which never fades. All the psychic qualities. Garland always, like in Nachiketa Yam Sambad, Yama gives him a garland. Garland is powers of nature. So there are powers which are unfading. They are always there. And then he carries an umbrella picture of Vaman Avatar is, he's carrying an umbrella. What is that umbrella? So umbrella is basically, it guards you, protects you against the elemental energies. So psychic being has that innate ability. If somebody's psychic being is awake, you are living in the soul, you'll be guarded and protected. That's exactly we see in Prahlad's story also. I myself experienced in so many times, you will be protected. How? We don't know. But he is carrying that umbrella. At the same time, in his girdle, he is nice, all the riches in his hands, the bangles. So the riches of the world come drawn to you. But the beauty of Vaman Avatar is, he is a sannyasi. Amazing sannyasi who has, on one side he is sannyasi, attached to nothing. And yet he has the capacity to conquer all the three worlds. That's Vaman Avatar. It's a perfect description of the psychic being in man. It owns nothing, wants nothing. It's an emanation from whom? She is born of the garbha of womb of Aditi. Unlike you see other avatars who have their own origins. But Vaman Avatar is born from the womb of Aditi. If you read the Gita, Gita will describe it like this. Though he'll say etada yoni, but he says out of my para prakriti. So Gita uses the phrase para prakriti jiva bhuta. The jiva emerges from the para prakriti. Mother Aditi, mother of the gods, the same power which has given birth to gods gives birth to the psychic being. Not in this world, that's of course in the supramental world. That's why the psychic being is regarded not just as an equal to the gods, but also regarded in some places the leader of the gods. The story of Kartike, he's the Deva Senapati, Lord Murga in the southern parts. So he is regarded as the leader. All the gods before him, their energies, their capacities fade away. And Mother has revealed this several times, that if the psychic presence is active, even the gods feel compelled. And the psychic being can go to any of these. Ultimately, destiny is going right up to the Satlok. All this has been reserved for the psychic being as it grows. But it has to grow. It can recover its universality. That's the Vishwarup. And see all the elements which are human elements find the right place. There even divine justification. All of them are there in the psychic when it universalizes itself. So Vamana Avatar is very clearly the psychic being. First time we see the manifestation. Before that the avatars are taking the form of animals, different animals. But first time we see with the coming of human, born from the womb of Aditi, all these other avatars don't come like that. They are directly, Vishnu Bhagavan is manifesting himself through his own energies. So born from the womb of Aditi, there is something very interesting in that story which comes. I remember when he is describing about his grandfather, Lord Vishnu is describing. He is saying that you come from a very good lineage. He doesn't say you are a demon, you are horrible, doesn't say that. He says you have your own beautiful lineage. Then he describes Hiranyakashipu. So he says Hiranyakashipu was very angry because I had killed his brother. So he was running all over the universe to find me. So what does Lord Vishnu do? He says, I took a subtle form and entered into his heart, where he'll never find me. He will never turn because his eyes are turned toward the material universe. There is a, if you read Savitri, where there is a description of finding of the soul, remember the lines when Sri Aurobindo says that psychic being is hidden in the heart of man and the divine presence. He says, God's last refuge from the world's profaning touch. Kojo, yeah. And then he says, he was searching for me everywhere to take revenge. He could not find me. And then he believed, it's a very interesting aside of the story. Then Hiranyakashipu believed that I have died. Vishnu has run away or died, gone to death. Because he believed that I have gone to death, I came as death to him in the most impossible way. So it's a very fascinating story about And when you see the Vaman avatar's Vishwarup, then you also have death. Death is his shadow. So in that totality, everything is there. There is not like a division between this is God, this is devil in that oneness, just like in the Gita. So what is the difference? The difference is that everything is in its right place and just proportion. Death serves a purpose. That's why the shadow is there. Shadow is there to prepare us for the light. So it has its place. Shadow is the past that you leave behind as you walk toward the future. So even that has a place. Imagine a world where all that was in the past continues to live. It'll be difficult. Even as a human being, it'll be difficult. We won't progress. A child must leave behind the parents to grow toward the future. And he must leave behind his life of material comforts as a grahastha to go towards a yet greater future. So always it is like that, that you have to leave behind the past. So death is as a shadow shown there. So everything is described in very beautiful way, that everything has its place. If you put it in its place, it's very nice. If you put it out of its place, it creates a disharmony. So he has the darshan of that. So then, of course, Bali, Mahabali is a asura. Why he is an asura? Because he is living by ego and division. Wherever we have, he should have actually said, whatever has happened in the past with my grandsires, let the gods stay in heaven. It is their place given to them by the divine. I have my own place. Let me govern my kingdom very well. That is the error, that he annexes a place which never belonged to him. And he goes there, annexes, and naturally he enjoys, all his subjects enjoy. But though he is a great king, the subjects are what they are. And therefore the divine has to intervene. What does he do then? When he surrenders, however, whatever one may be, if you surrender, what will the divine do? He'll first send you to the place where you belong. You should be in the cosmic order. But he will turn that place into something so beautiful that even the gods will envy. That's how I look at it. You know, in the ashram life, many times people ask, I said, yeah, whatever be the difficulties, but even gods would want to come here. This I can say. Once people start living, they don't want to go. Why is it? You have hot season, hot weather, all this is there. Because wherever the Lord is, doesn't matter what that place is. That's why if you read the Indian system of 14 worlds, King Mahabali's kingdom is described in very special terms. You can Google search and read it. Sutal. It's not Swarga, but its beauty and opulence are described as greater than Swarga. Who is the guardian? It is something you nobody can conquer. There's a whole story in, I'm forgetting which Purana, but where all the gods have to bring something and that they have to go through Sutal and they want to meet King Bali. And who is standing there? Vishnu Bhagwan. So they say, we want to meet King Bali urgently. Oh, it's that race of Kartikeya and God Ganesh. God Ganesh went around Kartikeya. They are going all over the world. So they entered this world also. And they meet Lord Vishnu. They don't recognize him. They say, see, we are in a hurry. We have to win the race. We got to meet King Bali. He says, I am the gatekeeper. You go past me. He is resting now. And till he is resting, I am not going to open the gate. So they start fighting with him. They are all defeated. So at the end they ask, who are you? We are the gods. He says, yes, you are the gods. I am the great grandfather of the gods. So they are humbled. Then they go and King Bali treats them to a nice, lavish. He is described as a very, even Hanuman story, once he comes. He comes in several different stories. Even when Hanuman goes to find the Mudrika, then Lord Rama tricks it, quietly slips the Mudrika. He says, why don't you find it for me? Because if Hanuman is present, Yama can't come. So he goes down and he sees Sutal. He enters Sutal. It's so beautiful. Music is going on. And already gods have conspired with Bali Maharaj that please hold him for some time. We want to delay the process till Rama departs. Don't let him come back. So, after some time, Hanuman says, you are playing with me. Because he starts saying, I believe, you know, music. Why don't you, I also listen to some music. After that, you go and find what is the hurry. You will find. It must be somewhere around. So, Hanuman for some time plays music. Then he says, what is this man doing? He is not telling me where it is. So, he says, I am not going to leave you. Then King Bali prays. He says, see, I can't hold him for long, you know. So then he says, you go and find it in the mountain there. It's a very fascinating story. But basic sense of the story is that these cosmic agencies, everything has its own place. But whatever be the place, if you dwell with the divine presence, even hell becomes wonderful heaven. There is a letter of Sri Aurobindo where he writes to his wife, Mrilalini Devi, to his sister, Sarojini Devi. He says, he is in Baroda and he speaks about one of the myth in Christianity where one day all these people who are suffering in hell are sent to Arctic Pole. They are suffering in the heat of hell. And they can spend one day in the Arctic Pole on ice. So he says, I don't know whether to regard it as a punishment or a relief. If you have lived in fire, you are used to fire. And suddenly one day you go to beautiful humor. So basically, if you are with the Lord, in one of Umar Khayyam's poetry also it comes, that all that I need is wine and you. Of course, this wine is about the ananda. If I have the wine and you, then wilderness is paradise now. Says that. So, living with the Lord, imagine, it's a very rare felicity. And the Lord is the guardian. That's how he is. And it has been promised to him that when the whole kalpa ends, when this whole four cycle ends, then Bali will be the king of heaven. He will actually deserve that crown because Indra is not a permanent thing. It's a post which keeps changing. So after, in the next, which has started, as we believe, so he would be the king because he has gone through that whole process of purification. So when you see all these who will become the king, he's also one of the seven Chiranjeevis. So on one side he is an asura, on one side he has annexed the heaven, on the other side he has been blessed in so many ways. And obviously the three steps of Vamana Avatar is very clear, that conquer the world, conquer even the gods, but unless you have conquered yourself, you stand arrested. That's what Garuda comes to teach him. You are a helpless nobody. So ultimately the Lord wins it back because all these worlds were Mahabali's. So he takes it from him. And then finally you have to, the last conquest is conquest of the ego. That was the main thing. So the whole story is deeply mystic, symbolic, profound of Vamana Avatar. This is where the story ends. We can say Jai Ma.